Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Educating for Success show. We bring families together with home business.
Hey, this is Ray Perry at Educating for Success, coming to you from the backside of nowhere in southern Tennessee. Yesterday, we were talking about farming and the joys of not making any money while you're doing it. And so today, let's talk about how to do it right. My host is Ralph Hendricks from Joy, Kentucky and Joy Acres Farm, where he is basically a hobby farmer who is renting some space on a farm while he still has a full-time job and is stepping into hobby farming as a part-time project, which is an easy way to do it when you don't have the income to make a gigantic investment to start into something that's a big endeavor like that. It's a totally an awesome opportunity. So Ralph's having a little bit of trouble with technical stuff today. So Ralph, are you there? Okay, Will, you there? He'll be joining us here in just a minute. We'll bring him in when his line is cleared. So anyway, we were talking about monetizing farming. So let's just talk about the basics. So here's an idea. If you move out to the country because it sounds so romantic, or you watched a movie like Baby Boom, or you just decided that you wanted to leave the rat race in a fury of work frenzy because you just decided, I don't like the city anymore, I just can't stand this traffic anymore, which I totally understand, because that was one of the things that I did not like about living in town, was the constant traffic. And then when you had to commute, it was just horrible. So in the country, you don't have that problem with commuting. The biggest problem that you might have with traffic is you get behind a slow tractor on a one-way road, one-lane road. That does happen. So when you move to the country, you do have to realize that it's going to cost a little bit more to live in the country than it costs to live in the city. First of all, if you need supplies and you have to go to town, you can't just drop everything and run to the store. You have to make a plan to go once a week, or some people go once a month, and get what you need while you're there. If you forget something like milk, you just have to do without, or you have to find another solution to the problem. But living in the country is more expensive, actually, in some ways than living in town, because you have more expenses. Like, the first thing you do on your property is you have to fence it if you have animals. And if you have a garden, you probably want to fence that too, because you want to keep out the predators. They will sneak in the middle of the night and rob your crops blind all in one night, and then you're going to wish that you had spent some money on fencing. But the easiest thing to do is to focus on building a community, or moving into a pre-existing community where everybody communicates and cooperates with each other. Now, in the country, you'll also find that people don't take the newcomers very quickly. It takes a couple years before they will trust you and before that they will engage in trade on a common basis with you, because they just tend to be a little bit more skeptical of people moving into the neighborhood. And so it takes a while to build that relationship. But once you've built the relationship, if you can develop a place where you can trade with each other, that's the best situation. If you look back in the Bible, in the early part of the Old Testament, there were 12 tribes that basically came from 12 brothers. 11 of them produced, and the Levites, the 12th tribe, were the ones that were supposed to take care of the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God, basically. They were dedicated to representing the people before God, and they were supposed to be the recipients of the tithe. And they were all supposed to live together in a common area, and the 11 tribes were all to be producers of different things, and then they traded with each other. And that model from the Old Testament is basically what we should be doing in our communities today. Now, of course, we live in a global economy where you can literally click a button on your computer and order something from China, and it will be here in 2 weeks, and your money has gone out of the country to buy a product from someone that you don't know and you'll never meet in a million years, and then they're going to ship it to you, and it'll be here in a relatively short amount of time. You can also go online, click a button, and buy something and have it here in 2 days, if Amazon Prime is working correctly. So our concept of commerce has become universal rather than local. But yet in the early days, the thing that kept everything going was that concept of local community. So that if I had eggs and chickens and maybe a couple goats, and you had a large amount of wood, and you cut wood, and you had a sawmill, and I could get lumber from you, then I would either sell my eggs, my chickens, my goats, and get money and buy lumber from you, or I might be able to just directly give you chickens and eggs and goats, and you give me lumber in exchange. That's the way it started off in the early years. And then we developed the concept of currency, which was backed in America originally by gold. Well, we're no longer on the gold standard, and so now we have a fiat currency, which means that there's nothing behind the paper that they're printing. It's just printed money, and they can print as much as they want to, which goes into an entirely different study on economics, which we're not going to cover today. But if you go back to the barter system, where I give you my eggs, and which, as Joel mentioned the other day, was a high-ticket item, or could be, especially if they're organic, and in exchange you give me your lumber, then we have true exchange. And so there has to be a standard for a value for that exchange. And that's where money comes in, because it comes up, it gives us that common way to evaluate. Another concept is coming in right now is Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency is another way to do exchange, equivalent exchange over the internet. If you have an account, you can actually buy things with cryptocurrency now, which doesn't have any kind of middleman at all. It's just currency that you buy online, you generate online, and then you're able to buy products and services with no administration. So there's no middleman, there's no bank, there's no processing company between you and the person that is making the trade. And so for that reason, a lot of people are enjoying trading with cryptocurrency, and the currency values are escalating. They're just going through the ceilings from where they started. So that's an option, but it also takes the money out of the local economy. So if you want to really focus on being a serious merchant in a farming community, then what the best thing to do would be to focus on supporting other local businesses. So whoever it is in your community that's providing the things that you need, you would be able to buy and sell from them. And sometimes those prices are going to be higher than if you go down to a mass discount store, a gigantic store. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to call the name, but a gigantic store that has everything. Sure, you can get the prices cheaper down there, but where is your money going when you go down there and do that? And so wouldn't it be more efficient for your community if you kept that money in with your neighbor? Because when you give it to your neighbor, even though he might be charging you a little bit more money for eggs than you want to pay down at the store, that money is staying in the community. So when it's time for you to sell your product, that neighbor can buy that product from you instead of him going down to the store and having his money go out the door, wherever it's going to go to. It's going to come back to you. So I love the idea of building small communities. Another thing is some people are really, really talented at farming. They just have a green thumb. I have friends like that you can give them a cutting of something and come back to their house 6 months later and it is everywhere. You give me that same cutting, I'll bring it home, I'll water it, I'll fertilize it, and it'll still die. I don't have a green thumb like some of my friends do. But if you could connect yourself to a real farm, a farm that's producing organic produce and animals, and live nearby it, and then exchange your labor, possibly, and your money for the produce that they have on the farm, then that's another option. So here's a scenario. I'm just throwing this out as an idea to inspire you to do something really cool. Say that there's a 200 or 300 acre farm that's operating. It's an organic farm, and there's land around it, which there usually is in the country, and you go buy a 15-acre hobby farm, 5 to 10, 15 acres, maybe 30, whatever, but you don't really know what you're doing. So how about connecting to the farmer and telling them, we will buy stuff from you, we will work for you, we will come out and weed, we will bush hog, We will help fix the fences. We will do whatever it is that you need to have done on the property in exchange for you teaching us and providing for us some of the things that we desire to know and that we need. And so if you built a community where you had one big farm and say you had 10 or 15 little hobby farms all around in the area, then you could create a little community where the money would be going back and forth between the people in the community, and you could basically become self-sustaining. In other words, between you and 5 or 10 or 15 neighbors, you could literally provide everything that you need for each other. You can even put solar panels up in a field and create electricity that you can sell to TVA. Well, we live here in the South. We have TVA. And they will buy it from you and give you money for it. You can literally do that if you want to. There's a lot of different ways that you can generate income. So the people that are trying farming and are finding out that it's not being lucrative for them are not thinking as creatively as they could. What they're probably doing is, and I don't want to be judgmental because I love farmers and I don't want to make anybody feel negative, but there were ways that worked in the Industrial Revolution or the years before that that a lot of people are still trying to make work. And then there are new ways of thinking, which, of course, Joel Salatin has outlined in several of his books, of how you combine different things and rotate crops and rotate your animals in succession and all, so that you can basically have a variety of things happening all at one time. And if you can put a bunch of those types of things together in a bunch of different little farms, little mini farms, and then you connect each other together like a spider web, you all trade from each other, and you make a commitment that you're going to buy each other's goods and produce, and the pricing is going to have to probably be a little bit higher than down at the store. But the good thing is the people are close by, so you don't have to go very far for it. That would be a sustainable small community. You could also set basic guidelines of, we don't do pesticides, we don't do chemicals, anything like that. And that way you can trust and you can know that the food that you're eating is safe. So that's just one concept that I've had in my mind for a long time that I would love to put together. Now, say that you're a real estate investor. This steps outside of the realm of farming. But say that you're a real estate investor and you find a large plot of land that's near a farm, a working farm. So if you can build a relationship with the working farm family and then divide the portion of land up that's around that farm, you could sell off those plots in 20-acre plots, and you could even build the houses on there if you wanted to, and build farm-type houses and then put wells in instead of hooking to city water, put in solar panels, do a lot of different things so that you could generate a community that you could literally sell. As a real estate investor, you could then advertise many farms for sale. You could even rent them if people were not able to buy them in that community that were connected to the farm. And then you could also have like a farming HOA. Like in the city, when you have an HOA in a gated community, say, they have rules of what color you can paint your house and what you can do with your grass and things like that. Well, in a farming HOA, you would not have those same types of regulations because, of course, farmers are a lot more independent and they don't usually get around to painting their houses as much as people in the city do. And so there would be a different type of concept on the HOA. Like, for example, if you want to buy produce, your first choice would be to check with us. Now, that also means that the host farm can't gouge the people because they have a commitment to them, but they have to. But everybody has to realize that the pricing might not be what they want it to be in town because of a variety of different factors. And so if you could create some kind of an agreement in the farming HOA where they all agree to work a certain number of hours on the main farm, if they could make commitments to buy within their community, make commitments to sell inside their community, make commitments to live organically and healthy and not to spray and, you know, all the different things that you would desire to have in an organic community, then it seems like you could create your own little community which could get bigger and bigger and bigger, which could have an amazing impact on your county. And it could even draw people from the city who are tired of the city life and who are concerned about organic food and who want to get out into that lifestyle. And then if you made sure that it had an internet presence, then you could actually teach people how to have internet businesses at their farms so that they can maintain an income level based on what their business is going to earn, so that their money is not dependent on what they're making on the farm. That's pretty much what we do here. We don't rely on the things that we do on our farm for a living. It wouldn't make it if we had to right now. In the past, we've had a lot more animals. We've had crops. We've had different things. But where we are right now, we can't. But we live out in the middle of nowhere. We don't have garbage pickup. We just got DSL a few years ago. We live a long way out. We have one little ISP in our county, and it's based in a little town that only has one stoplight. And it's not a real strong internet connection, but it's good enough. It's DSL. So we're able to have an internet business that operates because we have DSL that generates enough money for our family to live on. In fact, there's several families out here that generate money off of the internet that live on farms. And so if you combine that concept of multiple streams of income and say we have the chickens, we have the eggs, we have the goats and the cows and the vegetables and the timber and the catfish growing in the pond, but yet we also are doing things on the internet at the same time. We have a few membership sites. We sell a few things on eBay and Amazon. We have a variety of little different projects going on. We do affiliate marketing. We do a lot of different little things so that you can actually make money from your computer. You can turn your laptop into an ATM while you live on your farm with all of the beauty of the country all around you, and you have the best of both worlds. That's pretty much what's happened with me in my life. The crazy thing is that you can live in the country but yet earn the same amount of money or actually more if you have an online internet business. Now, so many times people say, well, I have to keep my job because of health insurance. Well, what do people who are self-employed do? They have their own health insurance. And in a future show, I'm going to tell you more about how to handle that, because there's no reason why you should have to keep your job that you don't like just for health insurance. Unless you have serious pre-existing conditions, there are other options out there. In fact, even for pre-existing conditions, there are other options. But you don't have to keep your job just for health insurance. And so if you are desiring to live an abundant life, to make enough money so that you are able to live the type of life that you want to be able to provide for your family, be able to take care of others that God brings you, take care of missions, go on missions trips, travel, and do all those fun, cool things that you would really like to go do, it's possible to do that while you are living in the middle of nowhere on a farm that doesn't even have garbage pickup. We've been doing that for about 19 years, and so we are really excited about the opportunity to let other people learn how to do what we've done. And so we have actually put together a conference. We've been doing conferences for years because that's another one of those streams of income that we have at our house. We believe in the farm model. A farm has multiple streams of income. It has chickens and goats and pigs and cows and timber and catfish and lumber and all the different things that it has. Those things have to be managed, and they all come in different times of the year. And the farmer has to keep track of the weather and the market and the animals and the soil. There's so many different things that a farmer has to be aware of and manage. And he has to keep track of his God. He has to be in touch with God to be able to know when to do the different things that have to be done. He also usually plants by the stars, too, if you follow an almanac. And so that whole concept of multiple streams of income, it's one of those things where you keep all the plates spinning. And that means that your life is never boring. Every day is different. You might be working inside and you might be working outside, but you've got a lot of different things going on, and it makes your life interesting rather than boring. And so as one of those different streams of income that we have here from the farm is we started a home, a mom's day on our farm years ago. I had a Yahoo group with about 300 people on it. It wasn't even my Yahoo group. And I invited them to come over to my house for one day for a session with five different friends of mine who were authors. They were somewhat local. And so we had 100 people come from 18 states, and four people actually flew out here. Now, we're 2 hours from the airport, but somehow they flew and rented cars or whatever. And so they came out here for the day. We had a second day when we did it the next year. Same thing. And that by then, our list, we had started our own list. It was only 136 people. But the third year, people started writing in and saying, when are we going to have that party at your house? And my husband said, well, our house didn't quite make it through the last two parties, and so we probably don't need to do that again. So we rented the university and hosted our first home business conference at a university in Florence, Alabama, and had 220 people from 21 states in Canada come for a three-day event. And it was rather prosperous. And so we've done that event every year since then. And so one of the streams of income that we've decided on working on at my house, which I primarily do by myself, not too many people around here help me with it. Sometimes they show up and sometimes they speak. One of my sons speaks. But it's not really a family project. It's kind of like my project for the family and with the family. We host live events. And so I host the home business conference in August, and then we have a home education for home business conference in the spring, where we teach people how to homeschool like we have been doing to help young people go in the direction of having a home business, not towards going to college necessarily. We're not against college. I went to college. I loved it. But if you would prefer your children, or if your children prefer to have a home business, possibly even live on a farm and have an internet business like we do, then you have to homeschool your children differently in order to get that, meet that goal. And so that conference that we have in the spring focuses on how to homeschool your children so that they will be prepared to have the skill set that they need to have a home business. Because home business is it requires leadership, whereas if you're going to get a job, you have to have a different mindset. And so, and we're not trained in that mindset of being a business leader in school, so you have to develop that separately. And so that's the event that we do in the spring. But this August coming up, on August 12th through 14th, we have our annual home business conference coming, where we are going to bring in experts who are going to talk about a variety of topics, a variety of ways of making money at home. Now, our keynote is Joel Salatin, who is a farmer extraordinaire, awesome, awesome man of God who knows how to monetize farming better than anybody I've ever met in my entire life. And so he's going to come and talk about 10 ways to monetize a small farm. So what that means is he's going to talk about how do you make money with chickens and goats and eggs and pigs and all that stuff. But then he's also going to talk about the other side, because he lives the same kind of life that I live. He also has his books and his speaking engagements and his apprenticeship. And so he also generates money from the internet and from long-term other projects that are outside of his farm, but they are based on what he has learned how to do at the farm. And so he's going to speak and do two sessions, and then he's also going to host a dinner. We're hosting a dinner for him. He's going to speak at that for a small group of people who are interested in learning more about farming, and they want to be able to ask him some questions and spend some one-on-one time with him. And then we also have some other people who are going to be talking about what they've done with selling on Amazon. We've got some members of our online community who are knocking it out of the park, making seven figures a year, selling things on Amazon, especially books. So we have one of our homeschool dads from Minnesota who's going to be speaking about Amazon. And then we also have a friend of mine from the UK who actually owns one of the five platforms that you can host a membership site on. He's going to come and talk about why and how to have a membership site. We have Mike Stewart coming to talk to us about audio and video, because if you want to do anything on the internet these days, you need to understand how to do audio and video. What we're doing today is an example of audio. I'm talking to you on my telephone from my cell phone from my farm out in the middle of nowhere, and you're listening to it wherever you are. Video is easy to put up on YouTube and show what you're doing. And then we also have a friend of mine from Germany who's going to come and talk about how to buy and sell land. So if you don't have any land, but you're interested in learning how to buy some, well, we have a guy who's going to help you figure that out. And then we also have my black son, who lives in New Orleans. He's not really my son, but we call him that. We met at a conference years ago, and we've been best friends ever since then. The ambassador of Increase, Darren Vanette, who's going to be doing a non-denominational service for us on Sunday. He has never had a job in his entire life. I think he's probably 50 years old now, has four children. He has an amazing story, and he's such an awesome, inspirational speaker. So he's going to be doing a service for us on Sunday. And then also my son, Drew, is going to talk about something that the Lord's put in his heart. It's a message about dirt. He's had some kind of revelation about dirt, and he wants to share that with everyone. And so we are going to have him speak on Sunday about that. Now, one other thing we have also is we have a summer home business contest every year. All you have to do is start a business and crank it all up and have it make $1. That means that all of your systems are working if it's able to take money. You have to make one sale where you've made at least a dollar, and then you're eligible to enter our contest at Educating for Success. You have to be 18 years old to be involved, but if you're not 18, you can outsource that and partner with somebody who has what you don't have and work that out together. But the first place prize on that is $1,000. So if you could stand to earn $1,000, you might want to look at our contest because it's really, really fun. And we've had some really great projects that have come out of it in the last couple of years. We also have English Country Dancing every night. It is so fun. The kids love it. They will not allow us to put anything else on there on the night schedule other than the dancing. We did sneak the dinner with Joel in, but the kids won't be going to it because they're going to be going to dancing from 7 to 10 every night. And this year our event is in Louisville, Kentucky. It is an absolutely beautiful hotel. It is in the middle of downtown Louisville. When you walk outside the door, there's probably 20 restaurants inside of two blocks. It's marvelous. It's a great place to host an event, and we have a super deal on the rooms. And so if you are interested in doing something different with your life, if you love the idea of living in the country, of having animals and gardens and space and trees and barns and all that cool stuff, and yet you want to be able to make enough money to survive on and travel and sponsor your mission trips and your missionaries and all that, it is totally possible. Because I'm here to tell you, we've been doing it for 19 years, and we would love to share with you how you can do it too. And so the way that we teach this is at our live 3-day home business conference this year in Louisville, Kentucky. We'd love to have you come. This has been Ray Perry talking to you today about how to change your life so that you can live in the country but yet have the benefits of the city income. If you're interested in that, we'd love to have you learn more by joining us at our home business conference this year. You can go to educatingforsuccess.com/2016HBC to learn more. I hope to see you there.
Thank you for joining us. To learn more about what we do at Educating for Success, visit us at educatingforsuccess.com.